Isaiah chapter 5. We looked at the first half of the chapter last week. Tonight we look at the second half of the chapter. And what we're going to find is a progression, if you will, of what happens when God's people depart from God's word. Here in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude drieth up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." I've entitled the message, Despised the Word. Despised the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use your word in our hearts this evening. Just grow us through it and change us. Just give us a sweet time in your word. And I pray that needs will be met and hearts will be touched in a powerful way. And Lord, that you will be glorified. So guide us in your truth and meet with us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what you can see here is God rebuking his people for their attitude toward the Word of God. And this progression is how it goes. When God's people begin to turn away from God's Word, this is what happens in their lives, as we see in this passage. It's interesting that alcohol is included in that. You probably noticed that. He said there in verse 11 that they continue until night, until wine inflame them. So he's pronouncing a woe to those who are drinkers, who allow alcohol to inflame their passions. And then he mentions it on down again in verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Basically, what he's saying is one of the things that happens when we depart from the Word of God is we stop separating ourselves from worldly things, and alcohol would be one of those things. But it's a heart problem. That's what this passage is going after, is a heart problem. And so as we walk through the passage tonight, I want you to see this progression. And it starts with verse 13, they have no knowledge. He says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. It always starts and finishes with the Word of God. And God's people had lost their knowledge of God's ways, God's Word. And it led them to this judgment that God was prophesying of, this chastisement that they were going to face as God's people. If you would, look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll see that this has been an issue between God and Israel for a long time. And Hosea is another example of God rebuking them for their attitude toward the Word of God. Notice Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So the beginning of this progression is lack of knowledge. And as he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you have been there, or if you know of a Christian who has gone away from God, it started with going away from the Word of God. I guarantee it. They weren't studying it. They weren't meditating in it. They weren't reading it like they should. And that led, you know, I know it's kind of a circular thing, but as sin began to pull them away, they began to pull away from this. And as he said here, because they have no knowledge. It was available. The Bible was available to God's people, but they had not chosen to avail themselves of that. I mean, most people have more than one Bible in their home, but it doesn't do any good until it's opened. Amen? You got to open it, got to read it, got to study it, got to memorize it, got to meditate it in it. And so it starts with this no knowledge of moving away from the things of the Word of God, and walks through this progression that we see here tonight, which, notice what happens next. Of course, he reminds them that many people are going to go to hell for lack of knowledge. And that's, of course, true of the unsaved. He reminds them there that hell is opened up, as he says in verse 14, they shall descend into it. Well, people need to hear about Jesus. They need the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can make a decision and accept Christ as their Savior. That's why it's our mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to the lost. But this passage is primarily talking about God's people. And lack of knowledge leads to, look at verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. So what happens is, when God's people get away from God's Word, the lines between right and wrong begin to change. They begin to blur. And sometimes they blur to the point that they actually swap sides, as he says here. Evil good and good evil. Well, that's a good definition of today's world, isn't it? The things that are right, the world calls wrong, and the things that are wrong, the world calls right. But God even warned that even during the church age, this would happen. There's an example in 2 Timothy 3, if you want to turn over there. And so in general, we see it in the world, but specifically, you will see it in Christians when they depart from the Word of God. The lines of what's right and wrong will begin to change. And they will begin to call evil good and good evil. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, where God tells us how this would happen in the world in the last times. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God says in the last days, this is what it would be like, that people would be haters of those that are good or despisers of those that are good, and that the lines of right and wrong would fall apart. But in our personal lives, if we depart from the Word of God, This is what keeps us on the straight and narrow. This is our guide. This is how we grow. This is our food. And if we depart from it, then what's going to happen is the right and wrong is going to get blurry. And that's what happened here to God's people. Look what happens next, verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. As we depart from the Word of God, not only do the lines of right and wrong begin to blur, but look what happens. We quit trusting the Lord. And we start trusting ourselves. That's a dangerous place to be, but I'm sure if you've been saved a while, it's happened to where you were trusting in your own wisdom, trusting in your own might, trusting in your own strength, rather than trusting in the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's might and the Lord's strength. That's going to happen when we depart from God's Word. We are going to get wise in our own eyes, which is foolish because we don't have any wisdom. But let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, which makes it very clear that we have no place to be wise in our own eyes, and that when we are not close to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then go to chapter 12 of Proverbs, if you would, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." The ways of a fool. So we become a fool because we become wise in our own eyes. We begin to stop asking God for guidance. Stop asking God for direction. Stop asking God for strength. And we're doing it in our own strength because we've departed away from the Word of God. This is what's going to happen. The lines of right and wrong are going to blur, and we're going to become wise in our own eyes. And then go to down verse 23 of our passage. Justify the wicked for reward. So that's even a step further than right and wrong. Getting confused. Now we begin to justify the wicked. Amazing. And yet we've all met Christians who do this very thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15. And God has some strong words about what happens when we justify the wicked. Proverbs 17, 15. "He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." That's a strong word, that word abomination. Justify the wicked. So the lines of right and wrong get blurred. We begin to do what's right in our own eyes, trust our own ways, our own wisdom. We begin to justify the wicked rather than, as the Bible says, "You that love the Lord hate evil." And then look at this last progression here in verse 24 of our passage. The Bible says, "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as the dust, because they have cast away the law." It's one thing to just stop being in the book, stop studying the book and reading it, but it's another thing to then cast it away. That's the last step, if you will, to where you just don't really care what the Bible says anymore. And don't believe that Christians can't do this. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, please. Verse 13, Proverbs 13, 13. The Bible says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." And then look at Jeremiah 8, please, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. So God here is giving us a warning, if you will. He gave Israel a warning through Isaiah. They didn't heed it. And they eventually went into captivity because of their disobedience and their refusal to heed these many, many warnings that were given through all these prophets. Of what happens when God's people have no knowledge, when they reject the knowledge of God. You know, God says what he says, for example, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He says these things to remind us how important it is that we continually subject ourselves to the book. In our own private devotions, but also in church, and whenever we can, we subject ourselves to the word of God, because that's what has the power to grow our faith. That's what has the power to change us, to refine us, to do whatever needs to be done in our lives, this quick and powerful book. And when we withdraw from it, then this progression is going to slowly take place in our lives. And then God has to, notice our in our passage, verse 25, the anger of the Lord is kindled. We don't want that. We don't want to get to that point where God's anger is going to be kindled against us because we have pulled back from His Word and eventually cast away His law. Well, as His children, He's not going to cast us away, but He is going to work in our lives to bring us back. And that's not going to be a pleasant process. Because He says there in verse 25, against His people. So this is written for His people. We are His people. And He says, against His people, and He has stretched forth His hand against them, hath smitten them, the hills did tremble, their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this His anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. Our God is a great God. He's a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. He will always do what's best for His children. And sometimes what's best is some intense chastisement. If we choose to back away from the Word of God. So it's a great warning. We need the book. We need to be in the book. We need to be growing in the book. You know, one of the things that Paul continually chastised the Corinthians about was their immaturity in the things of God. He called them carnal. He rebuked them because they didn't have knowledge of the wisdom of God. But that was their own fault. And it ended up with a lot of church problems. But then on a personal level, if you go to Hebrews chapter 5, he was constantly having to remind God's people that they had to be constantly growing in the Word, constantly feeding on the Word, allowing it to change them and mature them in the faith. Notice in verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. So what's he saying? Those of you that I'm writing to, you Jewish Christians that I'm writing to in the book of Hebrews, he's saying, you should have come to the point where you're ready to be teaching other people God's word. He says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You've not matured enough to now people are having to reteach you the basics of the Christian life. And that's not how it should be for us as believers. We should be constantly growing and maturing. He goes on to say in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word use, that's an important word there. He wants us to be using the word in our own lives so that we will grow and mature as His children. Israel had that opportunity and they did not avail themselves of it. And so step by step, they drifted further and further from God, further and further from what was right and wrong, further from who they should be trusting. They began to trust in their own ways, wise in their own eyes, to the point where the Bible wasn't important anymore. And we've all read stories in Israel's history where a good king would come along and they'd have to go dig the Bible out of some closet somewhere and dust it off because nobody had ever been using it. And then they'd open it up and say, wow, look at all this stuff God wants us to do. They should have been reading it all along and following it. But how many Christians don't open their Bible except on Sunday mornings? And that's not how it should be. So we can all say we don't despise the Word of God. But our actions say sometimes, if our attitude isn't right toward the Word of God, our actions are saying that we do despise the Word of God. And that's what God was saying to Israel and says to us. Let's not get to that point where our behavior is saying, I don't love God's Word, I despise it. Because I don't want to obey it, I don't want to listen to it, I don't want to follow it, I want to do my own thing. What's that going to produce? The kindling of the anger of the Lord in our lives. We don't want that. So let's not let it get there. They despise the Word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your wonderful and beautiful and powerful Word.